Holy Father, as we stand before you, a people, O God, set apart unto you, a people chosen for a great and eternal purpose, a people meant to be anointed and enabled, O God, in Christ Jesus, to do all things in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Unveil to us, O God, the reality that comes by the Spirit, Lord, the realities that stand in who you are and all that you are. Open to us an understanding of spiritual things today, Father. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Give us that understanding, O God, that comes from you. Enable us to distinguish between the spirit of the world and the spirit, O God, that comes from you, Father. Enable us to distinguish between natural things and spiritual things. And enable us to understand what governs what, Father. So bring forth in us an understanding as you continue to teach us your word, as you continue to communicate your word into us in the spirit and life of Jesus. As you continue, O God, to work your word into us, establishing it in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling it in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, O God, that you bless us this morning, Father. Bless us with a word that will truly be a blessing to others, Father. As we are taught, O God, to unveil the word in your righteousness. As we are taught, O God, to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Today we want to talk about spiritual realities. The difference between things in the natural and things in the spiritual. We need to know and understand the difference between the natural and the spiritual. All right? The knowledge of the world, the knowledge of the world system is not the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. This verse reads, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We start with this reality that God is spirit. Therefore, knowing God, communicating with God, communing with God, worshiping God, being taught by God, being led by God, being formed by God, being blessed by God, are all spiritual realities. They are a communication of His Spirit. God is Spirit, and He unveils realities in His Spirit. Are you listening? And we are called to receive His Spirit so that we can understand the things that He gives us. Now immediately we begin to understand that in God, spiritual realities come from Him. They do not come from the creation. They are manifested from Him. So when God talks about spiritual things, He is talking about things that He has to unfold, things that He has to make alive to us. And that's extremely important for us to understand. Spiritual truths. Truths that unveil what God has done. Now let's look at the other side. Darkness also manifests spiritually. Anger is a manifestation of one kind of spirit. Hate is another manifestation of the spirit of darkness. Lust is another manifestation of the spirit of darkness. So the spirit of darkness can be communicated. And if we look at the negative side, we begin to realize that spiritual realities are with us at all times. That spiritual realities affect the human race all the time. Anger, hatred, lust, greed, right? Pride, selfishness, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, right? Manipulation. All those things exist on an ongoing basis with almost every human being. So that is a spiritual reality. And if you look at the negative side of those spiritual realities, you realize that spiritual realities control the person as he functions in the natural. It is the things of the spirit of darkness that control and manifest that human behavior that has caused so much of pain in human history. So we need to understand that on the opposite side in the kingdom of God, there is a much higher realm of things that are of the Spirit of God. God Himself communicates spiritual truths. And one of the basic things that we have been talking about in the course of our teachings in this ministry is that Jesus Christ came to define the right spirit so that man will be able to live the right way. If you're wondering why Jesus Christ is the salvation of the nations, why Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, why Jesus Christ alone is the bread of life, why Jesus Christ alone is the light of the world, why Jesus Christ alone is the doorway by which the human race can go in and out and find pasture, why Jesus Christ alone is the good shepherd, why Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection and the life, then you need to understand this word called spirit. Jesus Christ came to define that word called spirit. We know from Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 that when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, his spirit was declared to contain the spirit of holiness. He belonged to God. Through his birth, his life, his ministry, through his travail and sacrifice through the cross, Jesus manifested the spirit that is entirely holy unto God. Through all that he experienced, through all that he went through his relationships with God and with man, Jesus Christ maintained a reality of being holy unto God. He defined a spirit of holiness. And that's the spirit that you and I are called to communicate into the world. That's the spirit we are called to receive, to realize, and communicate through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel built on? The spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is built on the testimony of Jesus. The Bible is meant to be explained to the human race by the testimony of Jesus. What makes up the testimony of Jesus? His spirit and his life. His spirit and his life brings to the human race a new reality. A new reality of how they can live, how they can do things very differently. New realities of how to appreciate and do things in a different way. To bring into the human race a new character, a new nature. To bring into the human race new desires. To bring into the human race new thoughts. To bring into the human race a new reality in relationships between one another. And all this has to be defined by spirit. Even as in the negative and sinful reality, anger is defined by the spirit that stands behind it. Lust is defined by the spirit that stands behind it. Human intellect is defined by the spirit that stands behind it. Now, this spirit that God wants to bring into your life and my life, it is the spirit that is defined through the life and ministry and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why he is called the Christ, the Anointed One. What is the anointing? An expression of his spirit. The spirit that would do things in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The spirit that would do things the right way. The spirit that would do things for the glory of God. The spirit that would always do things that are of the truth. The spirit that will not do things in falsehood. The spirit that would not do things in pride and selfishness and self-centeredness. We need that spirit. The entire human race needs that spirit. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life simply because the spirit by which he defined the way and the truth and the life is what is necessary for us. There is no other means by which we can get the right spirit. That's why Jesus Christ alone came back from the dead. There is no other person in history who has come back from the dead. There is no other person who came back from the dead and said, "See, I am vindicated by God. See, I have overcome all the science, laws of science that say that from death you cannot find life. God has vindicated me. God has vindicated my testimony." There are many holy men, there are many learned men in history. People have written books, people have written philosophies, people have created religions. They said a lot of things, did a lot of things, but nobody else came back from the dead. Are you listening? Nobody else came back from the dead. If they did, they would have made a heck of a noise about it. When Sai Baba dies, he ain't going to come back from the dead. When all the swamis and their holinesses die, they ain't going to come back from the dead to say, what I said was the truth. There's only one person who came back from the dead and said, what I told you is the truth. I told you I will die, and I told you I will come back from the dead, and I came back from the dead. Whatever I told you is the truth, because only God can bring someone back from the dead. And God has vindicated me. And so you should listen to what I tell you. You should understand that my testimony is a matter of life and death to you. My testimony, if you receive it in my spirit and if you receive it in my life, will transform your nature, it will transform your desires, it will transform your free will, it will transform your character, it will transform your thought processes, it will transform the way you do anything and everything. It will transform you in conscious terms, it will transform you in subconscious terms, it will transform you in unconscious terms. I have come to give you new life. I have come to bring into you a new spirit. I have come to define everything that makes you a living being in my spirit. How you think, you're going to think in my spirit. How you relate, you're going to relate in my spirit. How you talk, you're going to talk in my spirit. How you behave, you're going to behave in my spirit. What you like is going to be defined by my spirit. How you conduct your business, how you do anything and everything is going to be defined by my spirit. And those are the spiritual truths that scripture talk about. In the Bible school, we have been talking about the flow of scripture. The flow of scripture is brought to us in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. The flow of scripture manifests in fulfillment through the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. So Rhema word, the spoken word of God, the voice of the Lord your God, is defined in the spirit and life of Jesus. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. Faith is substance. That substance is constituted through the spirit and life of Jesus. That substance brings definition into your being. That substance brings definition into every facet of your being. Character, nature, thoughts, intents, attitudes, desires, imaginations, objects, purposes, your will, your emotions. How you live, move and have your being. And as you receive my spirit and my life, says the Lord, you will have an evidence of the substance that I manifest inside of you. That evidence will bring forth changes in your character, changes in your desires, changes in your thinking. You can measure the evidence for yourself. I'm not trying to sell you something, says the Lord. Whatever I tell you will be manifested in an evidence of truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free from the spirit of anger. The truth will set you free from the spirit of lust. The truth will set you free from the spirit of homosexuality. The truth will set you free from the spirit of anger, wickedness, the spirit of malice, the spirit of pride, the spirit of self-righteousness. And when it sets you free from that spirit of the world, you will come to honor God. You will come to know God. You will come to live in God. You will come to live by God. You will come to discover a brand new reality. So God is spirit. And the name of God is I am. I am who I am. I am that I am. You find that in Exodus chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. Read the Old King James Version and read the New Translations. In the Old King James Version, it is written, I am that I am. In the New Modern Translations, the New American Standard, in the New King James Version, it is written, I am who I am. Both are realities of God. And they are all communicated by Spirit. Jesus came to manifest the I Am of God. That's written in John chapter 17, verse 6. It is also written in John chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus said, He came to manifest the name of God. How does He manifest the name of God? By manifesting the right Spirit. God is Spirit. And the communication of God is in the Spirit that comes from Him. So no creature could communicate that Spirit. So Jesus Christ was God made man. In order to bring forth a communication that would be established in the right Spirit. And that right Spirit is what we need to receive and realize. So when you read the Word of God and you energize the Word of God by the Holy Spirit using tongues, what are you trying to do? You're trying to unveil the Word of God in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. You're trying to unveil the mystery of Christ by using tongues as a tool. Right? That's what you must understand. You're trying to get the right Spirit. You're trying to get the right flow of the Spirit of God within you. You're trying to get the clear communication of the Word of God. You're trying to receive and realize the voice of the Lord. Right? And there are so many different voices in the world. There are so many different ways of reading the Word of God. All of us can read the Word of God with our own understanding, with our own interpretations. I think this is right. I think that should be. I think that should not be. We have seen that throughout human history. That is not the kind of flow. That is not the kind of spiritual flow you want to get into. The spiritual flow of chaos. You want to go into the abundant waters of the voice of God. You want to receive that which is purely and clearly defined in the Spirit and life of Jesus. That's why in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus tells us, we are told that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is so important about this term, spirit of prophecy? Prophecy means that which is going to be fulfilled. Prophecy is the unveiling of an act of God. Because the prophetic has the potential of unveiling what God wants to bring forth. But for that unveiling to be proper, now you can unveil things in the wrong spirit. You can unveil things that bring darkness. You can unveil things that establish falsehood. You can unveil things that establish half-truths. But for the truth to be communicated, you need the testimony of Jesus to unveil the right spirit. Are you listening, brethren? So spiritual truths have to be developed in the name of Jesus. They're not a question of just seeing a vision or hearing a voice or feeling an anointing. It is not a question of feeling inspired. It's a question of entering into the testimony of Jesus. It's a question of getting into, right, the testimony of Jesus, because it is the testimony of Jesus that can explain the Word of God to you the right way, that can bring into you the voice of the Lord. So God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ came to define the right spirit, and He also said, I am the truth. So what is He saying? If you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, that spirit has to be of mine, and the truth has to be unveiled by who I am and by all that I am. Are you listening? Okay, so it's very important for us to understand this. Today we want to talk about spiritual things, right? There are so many kinds of spiritual things in the world, right? There are so many kinds of expositions of spiritual realities. The occult religions, the New Age movement, right? Every religious form has its spiritual manifestation. It has its spiritual dimensions. And you will notice that those spiritual dimensions control the behavior and the thinking of the people who are adherents to those religions. Christianity also, in each denomination, has also its peculiar manifestations of spiritual thinking. So Baptists do think differently from Lutherans. Anglicans do think differently from Pentecostals. So what is the reality that God wants to bring? That can only come with a focus on the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can only come with a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, His testimony, receiving His Spirit in His life. All right? Have we established the premise that truth comes to us only in the name of Jesus? All right? The truth that comes to us in the name of Jesus can only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Where do we find that? John chapter 16. We find that from the words of Jesus Christ Himself. John chapter 16, from verse 13 to verse 15. We all know that by heart by now. But I shall read it. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Very interesting. All the truth, not some of the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Amen. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. Only He has the capacity to glorify me. For He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Only He can communicate that which is of mine to you. Only He can make it an accurate communication. Are you listening? All right? So Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the Holy Spirit who can tell you that. It is the Holy Spirit who can establish that truth inside of you. It is the Holy Spirit who is going to make that truth become part and parcel of your being. Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. How will He disclose it, all these things, to you? In the Spirit and life of Jesus. In the Spirit and life of Jesus. He will communicate these things to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus. Amen? Do you understand that? That's the only way in which you can receive truth. That's what it means when Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Because truth is defined by I am. And I am is communicated by my spirit and my life, says the Lord. I am is my testimony. And my testimony is the truth. My testimony is the truth because it will enable you to receive the right spirit and receive the reality of the right kind of life. Nobody else can give that to you. And if you want to argue about that, the Lord is saying to you, only I came back from the dead. So when you communicate the gospel to people, you should tell them that clearly and precisely. The only person who came back from the dead is Jesus Christ. The only person whose life was vindicated by God with new life is the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been no other religious teacher in history. People can tell all kinds of stories. People can make up all kinds of stories. But the only person who came back from the dead was the Lord Jesus Christ. The only person who was actually vindicated by God. Whose teachings, whose actions, whose lifestyle, whose thoughts, whose words, whose deeds were all vindicated by God was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And so we must understand this very clearly. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. It's very important that we have that desire to receive and realize that which is described in the name of Jesus. What is it that communicates the name of Jesus? The Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when you pray in tongues, you're not just simply going through a spiritual exercise. You're not just using a gifting. You are choosing to enter by the Holy Spirit into the realities described in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? If you don't have that intention, then you can use tongues to enter the wrong spirit based on your own desires, based on your own carnal agendas. All right? So let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to take this verse from the New American Standard so that you understand this very well. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. He has explained Him. Other versions use the word declared. I like that word explained. Because all we want to know is who God is. We want to know God. We want the evidence of God to come alive in us. God is spirit, and the spirit and life of Jesus Christ explains God to us. When the reality of God is explained to us in our hearts, we can then pray in that reality. We can then worship in that reality. We can then live in that reality. We can preach in that reality. We can teach in that reality. We can counsel in that reality. We can work in that reality. We can do all things in that reality. Are you listening? And do you realize when God brings that reality inside of you, He's giving you a brand new education. An education that has got nothing to do with the system of the world. And you must understand that. That's why don't bring your inabilities to God. See His abilities. Understand who He is and what He can do with you. Do not be confined and conformed to your weaknesses. Understand that everything in Christ Jesus is for you. Amen? That's very important, right? Let's just check on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, what does it mean, any man is in Christ? Any man, he's opened to His Spirit. Any man who is in Christ, immersed in Christ, right? He is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There is a whole new lifestyle awaiting your discovery. A whole new lifestyle that is going to be defined in the Christ. Going to be defined by His Spirit. Are you listening? The whole new lifestyle of thinking and doing things. Amen? Alright, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? That's found in the New King James, right? Am I right? The word Christ is used there. Am I right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why Christ? Why not Jesus? Because Christ manifests the Spirit by which you will be strengthened. You are supposed to learn how to do all things by His Spirit. You are to discover all things in the Spirit and life of Jesus. And that's a new realization, right? And you must understand that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Now, this reality that God is talking about is a mystery. And this is how the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, writes this. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Who are the rulers of this age? The educated, those who reign over the affairs of men, right? In whatever form, whether it's economic, whether it is in terms of knowledge, whether it's in terms of political influence, right? Whether it's in terms of world power. And he's saying, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. And history has already shown that the kings of yesterday are no longer there. They are no longer of any relevance. Right? So we may be very impressed with people who say things because they have a Nobel Prize in this and a Nobel Prize in that. But the Word of God says they will also pass away. In spite of all of their knowledge, they cannot give life to themselves. So the wisdom of God poses this question. If you cannot give life to yourself, what do you really know? And that's the difference between Jesus Christ and every other philosopher and so-called religious teacher who has walked through the pages of history. The only one who came and said, I can give life, and then proved it by rising from the dead was Jesus Christ. Nobody can argue with it on that. Nobody can argue about that with you. It is a fact. Nobody else is around who can tell you that. Nobody else came back and said, I was vindicated and justified by the God, my God. I had fierce spiritual experiences, and God proved all those spiritual experiences by bringing me back from the dead so that you can base your life on me. Only Jesus Christ did that. Okay? So here we are talking about a wisdom. However, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. And it's very important for us to understand this. The seemingly important people of today will all pass away. In 100 years from now, they will be totally irrelevant. I will repeat that word, irrelevant. Verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. And this is very important for us to understand. God's wisdom is a mystery. What does that mean? It has to be revealed. It has to be given to you by God. You have to bow down before God in order to be able to unveil this mystery. You have to acknowledge the fact that there is a God. People ask, is there a God? Can you prove that God is there? God says, when you bow yourself before me and I reveal my mysteries, there will be no doubt that I am there. There will be no doubt about who I am and all that I am. There will be no doubt about how I will bring things into your life. Because they will all be of my own handiwork. No ifs and buts about it. But the prerequisite is this. You better understand that I speak in a language, says the Lord, that you cannot understand in your own intellect. You can only enter into the mystery that of what my wisdom is by bowing down before me. And if you don't bow down before me, I will not explain myself to you. I don't have to. I don't need you. You need me, says the Lord. It is I who have life. You have no life in yourself. You can stand on your head. You can proclaim how brilliant you are. You can proclaim your theories of light, your theories of creation, but you never created anything. You have no capacity to create anything. So don't tell me how smart you are, says the Lord. Don't tell me how much you know. You know nothing. Your knowledge will pass away with you. You will not be able to sustain the so-called knowledge that you carry within your being. It will die with you. And if you cannot sustain the knowledge that you carry, of what worth is your knowledge, says the Lord? Of what worth is anything you know? So God's wisdom is a mystery. But we speak, verse 7, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And that's grace. That God would predestine something to our glory. You need to understand something. When God brings something into you, in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, He's bringing into you your glory. Hello, that's why Jesus Christ, in John 17 verse 22, He prayed, Father, the glory that Thou hast given Me, I have given to them. How has He given His glory to us? He communicates His glory to us in His spirit and His life. Are you listening? Okay. And so the wisdom that God gives to our glory is the wisdom that is communicated, it is defined in the spirit and life of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the next verse. Verse 8. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you listening? But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Always remember this. As you receive the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, as you receive spiritual realities defined by Him, you must enter into a relationship that proclaims your love for Him. Hello. Love is the only quality in which the spirit that God gives you will be developed the right way. We have seen in Christian history, so many people do the wrong thing. Receive anointings, receive genuine giftings, be able to move in genuine signs and wonders, and do things all the wrong way, simply because they did not love the Master. Lucifer fell not because his giftings were imperfect, not because he was not anointed enough, not because he was not gifted enough. Lucifer fell because he did not love God, because he did not choose to cultivate that love for God. He did not ask God to enable him to love God. And that is a mistake you must never make. So, when God communicates the right spirit into you, He wants you to seek a genuine relationship with Him built on the love that He wants to bring into your life. Hello? When God defines the right spirit and the right life in Jesus Christ, He defined it with a right faith, and He also defined it in love. The qualifications to the spirit and life of Jesus are His faith and His love for us. So the spirit and life of Jesus will always bring into you the realities of His faith and His love, and you must seek that. And you must in turn allow His faith and His love to flow out of you, to find expression in your being, so that you will come to love Him. You see, it is not just a question of doing something. It is not just a question of getting into an activity. It is not just a question of answering a call. It is not just a question of operating a gift or operating an anointing. Everything must be done in the reality of a relationship with the Master. Because if that relationship is not cultivated, you will definitely go off track. Are you listening? Right? Very important. So yes, there are things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Yes, there are things that have not entered the heart of man. But what is important is that there is a word called love that must come with all of these things. There must be a word called love in which all of these things are developed in you. Because the human being is by design. If you don't love something, you won't do it. If you don't love someone, you will not be faithful to them. If you don't love someone, you will not bless them. Love is the defining quality of everything that God gives you. So when we talk about spiritual truths in God, The Bible simply tells us that God is love. So God is spirit and God is love, which means that the spirit of God, the spirit that is communicated by God, always unveils in a realization of love. It establishes itself in a character built on love. It establishes itself in a realization built on love. So if you want to do ministry, your ministry must always be a ministry of love. It is love that is the primary quality of a minister of God. Not the gifts, not how well you preach, not how well you teach, or how many miracles come out of you. Those are all secondary things. The only thing that defines whether you are someone of God is if you have His love alive in your character, in your nature. You have His love alive in your thoughts, alive in your deeds. No bluffing. Amen. And you need to seek that. Okay? It's very important. So God says, I've got all these things and I will give them to those who love me. All right? We have seen so many Christian preachers in frontline ministries fail simply because they never loved God. Because they did all things for themselves. Let us not repeat the same cycle. Let us not do the same things upside down. Right? That relationship with the Master must define everything inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then in verse 10 it says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So all things that God brings to us comes to us by the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go down from to verse 10. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Amen. So all things, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, He said in John chapter 14 verse 16 and 17, somewhere around there. He said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So it is the Holy Spirit who searches all things, even the depths of God. I want to concentrate on that word, all things. God is telling you that the Holy Spirit searches all things, including things that we commonly take for granted, that God will not be interested in. All things means all things. All things that stand before the Creator God. All things that stand, right, before the Creator God. All things ordained to stand in the natural and in the spiritual before the Creator God. It is the Holy Spirit who can give you insight into all things. It is the Holy Spirit who has the capacity to search all things so that you will understand all things the way God has ordained those things to be understood. You will not come with fancy theories that says that one day monkeys became men and say hallelujah and amen to that. You will not come out with ridiculous theories like that. Right? Are you with me? That then say that something came out of, all creation came out of nothing. That there was an explosion and everything got ordered by chance through time. How nice. That time and chance can create all things, can fashion all things. That time and chance are God. That time and chance can actually do what God alone can do. That time and chance can fashion and design and form and do things that we haven't a clue of. And say that that is scientific fact. Prove it. Prove it. prove it in your experiments that you can by time and chance create things, that you can fashion things out of nothing. Prove it. Fools. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Amen. Are you with me? Even the depths of God. So all things God wants us to learn are going to be by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ to teach us all things. To even search the depths of God. Are you with me? For to us God gives them. Alright? Don't forget that. Okay? Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Everything is defined by the spirit of the man. Are you listening? Everything is defined by the spirit of the man. Your anger is defined by the spirit of anger. Correct? In the same way, if you receive the right spirit, the spirit of wisdom that comes from God, then your thinking processes will be defined in that spirit that comes from God. Amen? So you realize that there is a whole universe of brilliance awaiting us. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you made your sixth grade exams or you did not. What is important is that God can bring all these things alive to you. Because He is the Creator God. But verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. So you need to understand this. That's why it's a mystery. Right? It is the spirit of God that can unveil the mystery. Because it cannot be realized by any other kind of spiritual manifestation. Alright? Just as your spirit defines things that have part and parcel of your life. Why do you behave the way you behave? Why do you explode when you're irritated? Because of the spirit that governs you. Correct? That's why Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 and 24 says that you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can put on the new creation. Right? So that you can put on the new creation. Right? You listening? So renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does the word renew mean? The old is replaced by the new. And that new is of the spirit of Christ. Listening? Got that straight? Okay. So even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world but the Spirit who is from God. So there is something called the spirit of the world. But we have received the Spirit who is from God. That we might know the things freely given to us by God. Amen. And the things freely given to us by God are a humongous range of things in the natural and in the spiritual. So all those things have to be defined to us in the right spirit. That's why the Bible says that the fullness of Jesus Christ must fill all in all. All things must find their proper definition and function in the spirit and life of Jesus. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. But that verse also tells you that it is the body of Christ who is to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus Christ that is to fill all in all has to be manifested by you and me. So the spirit and life of Jesus is to be communicated by you and me. That is our destiny. So when we say we are going to be taught by God, this is what it means. That you're going to be taught in His spirit and His life. That it's a totally different reality. And that reality will come with an evidence. And that evidence will be seen in dramatic changes within your nature and your character. Dramatic changes that are manifested in the power of God. Last week we talked about the power of God. And we said that the power of God is conformed, right, to manifest Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And if we can understand that, all power is ours. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 verse 11 says that we are to be strengthened with all power according to the Father's glorious might in all steadfastness and patience. Be patient. Be steadfast. Don't shake. Whenever God does something with you, He will bring into you a sufficient proof. Right? The changes He brings into you will be genuine changes. Changes that you would never have achieved in yourself. All of us have experienced that. So persevere. Just keep pushing on. You don't have to understand all things. Hello. You don't have to understand all things. We can't understand all things. What we really understand are very few things. Hello. Okay. So it is a dependence on God. In that process, you come to love God. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. When you begin to realize all things that are taught to you by God, you begin to realize that He loves you. And that's the most important lesson of life, to discover that God loves you. And to be able then to express that love that you have received from Him into everything that you do. Let's look at verse 13. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual, combining pneuma with pneuma, combining spirit with spirit. So God teaches you spirit upon spirit. Spirit upon spirit. Amazing. Correct? So when you... Right? So we take words, right? Words like love, words like wisdom, words like knowledge. And God is saying, I have defined all of those words in the spirit and life of Jesus. I have defined all of those words in the spirit and life of Jesus. And when those words are open to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, you will begin to receive that which you never understood before, that which you never saw before, that which you never had before. So the new system of education, the system of God, is a communication of spirit upon spirit. Amen. But that spirit comes together with the life of Jesus. And life is the most evidential thing that you can have. Hello, the greatest evidence that any human being can possess is the reality of life. Hello, no bluffs. So God says, I will prove it to you with life. I will prove everything that I bring into your life with life. And as you live it, you will know that this is life that you can never have achieved yourself. Making sense, brethren? Understanding spiritual mysteries. All this is a mystery. That's why the Bible refers to something called the mystery of Christ. Amen? Mystery of Christ. And it says, right? Christ in us is the hope of glory. What is this glory? The wisdom that comes to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. The wisdom that is defined in the spirit and life of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, as you open our hearts to understanding what it is you're bringing into our lives, we give you glory and honor that we are privileged to be receivers of the spirit and life of Jesus. Your word, in fact, declares that He is to be our inheritance and He is to be our possession. Teach us to understand that our inheritance is received, Father. So enable us by your Holy Spirit to receive the word that is described in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us go into the reality of manifesting this inheritance as a possession through things that we become, through doing things that that are unveiled in this inheritance, giving expression through this inheritance in our possessions, and enable us to understand that it is by faith and by love that we take hold of the promises of the living God. So bless each one of us, O God, that we may truly receive and realize that which is of God. So we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. We bless you and thank you that your purpose with each one of us is an awesome and glorious purpose. We thank you that the wisdom that you mean to communicate in us is to be for our glory. So we bless you that that glory was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that glory comes to us in His Spirit and His life. And enable us to understand that unless we love Him, we cannot really sustain that glory in the right way, Father. So we pray that your Spirit will teach us to love the Beloved. That your Spirit will teach us to love you. That your Spirit will teach us to do all things in a living remembrance, in a growing Passover, Father, that will establish us as sons of the living God, that will unfold us as morning stars, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we celebrate that new creation. We celebrate the new realities that you're bringing into each one of us. And we bless you, Father, for the privilege of being able to receive. The privilege, O God, of having our hearts open to receive. The privilege, O God, of having our eyes being open to see. The privilege, O God, of having our ears open to hear. For all things that you have given us in Christ Jesus by grace upon grace, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. We pray, Father, that you will bless the church across the world and in the heavenly places. That we will all receive of the fullness of Jesus Christ and be all that we can be in you and by you and through you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.